Right. Good morning, guys. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at The Grove. We're so glad that you could join us. Today we continue in our sermon series titled All In. And so if you have a Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to be in Acts chapter day, chapter 8, verse 25 through 40. Such a great passage. You're going to love it. And we're really excited about this new sermon series as well, aren't we? Because this is the kind of Christians that we all want to be. We want to be all in. Isn't that right? That's kind of what we're going for here. Not one foot in, one foot out. Not sort of in, sort of out. Not lukewarm. We're talking all in. And so if you've been with us during the last several weeks, you know that each week during the series, we've been challenged to stand up, and to stand firm, and to stand strong, and to stop sitting on the sidelines, and to stand up, to be all in. And I trust that you're getting that message and that challenge, and that's certainly what we're going for here at The Grove as well. And isn't this true? By God's grace, our church is growing. Have you guys noticed that? And that's a wonderful thing. And the reason we're doing this sermon series is for those of you who are newer to our church, so that you get a feel for the kind of congregation that we are. And so this morning, we continue in that series. In October, we'll be doing a book study where we'll be going verse by verse through the book of Ecclesiastes. And fantastic book of the Bible. We love it. We're very excited to share that with you. And we'll be going through Philippians in the spring. And so we got a lot to cover. Very excited that you're here. And today we're going to be looking at Philip, as they call him, the evangelist. And so as it relates to being all in, today we're looking at what it means to be all in on evangelism and discipleship, all right? And so starting in verse 25, let me pray, and then we're going to get to work, all right? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. We begin today by thanking you for being a God who speaks to us through your word, and who actually wants a relationship with us. Thank you, my goodness, thank you. And who communicates to us so that we might know who you are. Thank you, God, for not leaving us in the darkness, but rather you've chosen to initiate and to reveal yourself through Scripture so that we might know you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for coming to reveal to us the God that speaks. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for inspiring the writing of Scripture that we treasure here. We would ask, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate our understanding of the Bible so that we might know who Jesus is and what he has done. Holy Spirit, help us to get our heads and our hearts around an incredible example of faith and evangelism and discipleship that we're going to see now. Help us to apply these things that we could live for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen? Amen. All right. Big idea this morning is this. If you like to take notes. You're welcome to also follow along on our Grove app if you would like. The big idea is a challenge to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading by listening and obeying as he directs. That's the big idea. And just a side note here, this evening small groups will be resuming, and your small group may be meeting tonight or perhaps one night throughout the week, and so I would encourage you, maybe take some notes if you're going to small group this week. You can also take some notes through our Grove app as well. And in today's account, we'll see four elements in the conversion of a sinner to a saint, okay? And so let's get started. Verse 25, here's my first point. God takes the initiative in salvation. God takes the initiative in salvation. And notice here, verse 25, when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem, and they were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. And so, just a little info here about verse 25. This is a transitional verse. It kind of connects the first half of chapter 8 with the second half of chapter 8. And it shows us the apostles are preaching in many villages. And today they're in one of the villages of the Samaritans on their route back to Jerusalem. And of course, this is a fulfillment already of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That may be a familiar verse for you. And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you'll receive my power in the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. This is what Jesus says. You shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria. And so that's being fulfilled before our very eyes, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now notice here, verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, you guys see it? Saying, and maybe you're asking this question, Jason, which Philip is this exactly? Is this Philip one of the disciples of Jesus? Is it that Philip? In fact, if you're with us, men, on Thursday night, Pastor Scott preached a fantastic message, and the disciple Philip came up. Do you guys remember that? And Jesus actually invited Philip to come follow him, and he did. And then what does Philip do? Philip goes and talks to one of his good friends, Nathaniel, and he's like, you got to come see this Jesus, all right? And so is it that Philip? Is that the Philip that we're talking about here in chapter 8? Or perhaps is this the Philip from chapter 7 who is one of the deacons mentioned there? Well, here you go. According to Acts chapter 21, verse 8, we find out that this is Philip the evangelist, who is also one of the seven. And which is interesting, isn't it? I think Philip the evangelist, is that not a cool nickname? Right? Philip? Meh. But Philip the evangelist, now we're talking. I can almost imagine him with a really cool sport coat, right? Philip the evangelist. And his nickname is also fitting, because if you were to look through chapter 8, the entire chapter is about Philip being an evangelist. In verse 5 through 13, he's the first to preach the gospel to the Samaritans, which is a big deal because he's crossing over insurmountable ethnic and religious barriers to do so. In our passage, he's going to preach to a Gentile, to an Ethiopian man, as we're going to see shortly. And then once he's done, in verse 40, he actually goes to towns that were occupied by Philistines in the Old Testament. And so Philip the evangelist, that's who it is. It's a very fitting name. Now notice here again, verse 26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip saying, get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this is a desert road. And so this might be helpful for you. Back in the day, Gaza was a Philistine city. And like Samaria, the Jews didn't like these people. The Jews didn't want to go there. They didn't want to have anything to do with Gaza. And so in going there, in verse 26, here's what Philip is doing. He's breaking down ethnic and societal barriers, demonstrating that, here we go, Jesus Christ is for everyone. Can you say that with me? Jesus Christ is for everyone. And that's what we're seeing in today's passage. Jesus Christ is for everyone, and there's not going to be any more racial prejudice. No more. That's done with. And there's not going to be any more you or me. There's not any more we have it, you don't have it. There's none of that. All of that is gone. It's all gone. And the gospel is about to pull those walls right to the ground. And so the angel speaks. What does Philip do? Verse 27. You guys see it? It says that he arose and that he went, which means Philip, he obeyed. And so I'm just kind of curious, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you guys would be so quick to obey in this situation? To leave your comfort, to leave your routine. I wrote down three things that we might have said that day, three things that Philip could have done instead, three things Philip could have done instead of obeying. Number one, he could have said, yeah, you know what, maybe later. I'm kind of busy right now. Have you guys ever said that? Have you ever said that? Yeah, I'm just too busy. I mean, it's mid-September. Everybody knows Halloween is coming. I got to get my costume ready. I got a lot of irons in the fire right now. Maybe later. Right? That's a common one. He also could have said, if he was blunt and honest, he might have just said, I just don't like those people at all. Gaza, they're not a part of my culture. They don't look like me. They don't talk like me. I just don't like them that much. He could have been like Jonah, was towards Nineveh. You guys remember that? You guys remember? How did that work out? Not so good. Not so good. He could have said, I'll pray about it. You guys ever said that? I mean, it sounds kind of nice. I'm going to pray about it. But when God speaks and says, go over there. And then you say, well, maybe I should pray about that. Jesus, do you want me to go share the gospel with these people that you're telling me to go share the gospel with? Make note of this. For people to come to faith in Jesus, you first need a willing messenger. All right? That's what you need. And so let me ask you this morning, are you a willing messenger? That's the question. This is a great example for us to follow, Philip. For us here today, Philip is an example to follow. The question is, are you willing? Are we willing? Am I willing to be an instrument in the Redeemer's hands within your circle of influence? Because here's how it works, church. Our circle, if you will, our circle of influence, that is our mission field. And are you willing? Are you available? Like, don't you want to be the kind of person that lays hold of the opportunities that God gives you? Don't you want to be that kind of person? I mean, that's what we're striving for. Certainly, that's what all in is all about. Are you willing to step out in faith and to be used of God for his purposes? That's the question. Now, notice there again, verse 27. So he got up, and there was an Ethiopian. We all know where Ethiopia is, don't we? You guys know? East Africa. All right. And little more information about this man. Do you guys see it there? What else does verse 27 say? It says that he was an Ethiopian. Uh-oh. Oh, goodness. You guys see it? A eunuch. Gee whiz. That's awkward in church, isn't it? When I think about this Ethiopian man, I can't help but just like, ugh. It's not a shiver, it's more of a shudder. Just shudder a little bit. Go ahead and shudder with me. Oh, goodness, this poor man. The ladies are like, oh, I don't see the big deal. And all the fellas in the house is like, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Now notice how verse 27 continues. He was a court official of Candace. Some might pronounce it Candace, a queen of the Ethiopians who was in charge of all of her treasure. I don't know, I can't help but imagine this poor guy's job interview. Can you imagine? Well, your resume looks really great. That's good. Been to college, great, that's good. You have some work experience, yeah, that's really good. Just one thing, are you okay if we, I mean, have you been, all in all, this guy's job, it actually wasn't too bad of a gig. Minus the, of course, you know, this guy had prestige, he likely had honor, probably some wealth. He had everything that he wanted at his fingertips, but one thing was missing. He wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. That's right. He was searching. He was searching. He wasn't satisfied. He was searching. He was searching for what? Do you know? Jesus, of course. Of course Jesus is the right answer, not something else, of course. He was searching for God. Jason, how do you know that? How do you know? Well, it says at the end of verse 27, doesn't it? What does it say? It says that he had come to Jerusalem to what? To worship. Yeah, here's the bottom line. The Ethiopian had a hungry heart and he was searching. Look up here for a minute. Do you know what that's like? Do you know what that's like? Searching? Maybe asking the question, there's got to be more to life. Isn't there more? Isn't there more than just going to job, coming home, the weekend, summer vacation, back to work, school's in session, oh, Christmas is coming, I can't wait, turning the pages on the calendar. There's got to be more to life than this, than just flipping pages on the calendar, working your job, just kind of going along and thinking to yourself, there's got to be more. There's got to be more than just year after year. There's got to be more of just kind of the same thing. Is there more? Is there? Is there? Yes, of course there is. The Ethiopian was seeking and his heart was hungry and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Is that why you're here today? Are you here to worship? Are you seeking the Lord? Is that why you're here? That's the question. Only you can answer. Moving on, notice here verse 28. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot. What? Reading. You guys see it? The prophet Isaiah. That's awesome. It says in verse 29, then the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, directed Philip, said to Philip, go up and join his chariot. This is amazing. So the angel of the Lord sent Philip. He was willing. He obeyed. And Philip is now led to somebody who needs to know about Jesus. And so here we see that God takes the initiative in salvation. God is orchestrating all of this, right? Now notice there, verse 30. My second point this morning is this. God utilizes Scripture to penetrate the heart. Now notice there, verse 30. What does it say? Philip ran. And this confirms all of our suspicion that godly people do indeed like to run. It's interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. You kind of always thought it, but you weren't sure. I've noticed that people that run, people that don't run look at people that run like they're crazy, right? And people that run look at people that don't run like they're crazy. Philip ran. Can you imagine it that day? He's just kind of running along. And this is a big caravan of people now heading back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem, and he's just running. Look at that guy. He's out in the desert. What's he doing? And he's running. He's getting his long run in for the week, right? I got a 15-miler today. Hey, guys, what's going on? But as he gets closer, he hears something. Do you guys see it? Verse 30. And he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, like, this is an amazing icebreaker. Do you understand what you're reading? I love that. True story, I was actually at a car dealership recently. This actually happened to me. So cool. My wife and I, we have a used Honda minivan. And I'm not sure why I gave you the impression that we have a minivan. We don't have a minivan. My wife has a minivan. I don't have a minivan. I got a convertible. Well, technically it's a bicycle, but it is convertible. And if you guys have had a convertible like me, you know that there's just nothing like hair, like the wind blowing through your hair. Just feels so good. Or your scalp or whatever. Anyway, at the dealership, I was getting Gretel's van door looked at because the thing doesn't shut and it's a sensor that's not working. And it's months before we're going to get this solved. Unbelievable. But while I'm there, and here's the cool part, I saw a man with his Bible open. And he's just kind of like, it looks like he's kind of wrestling with the text, and he's trying to figure out, what does this mean? And so I just said, hey, man, I'm Jason. I see that you got your Bible open. What are you reading, if you don't mind me asking? And a true story, it turns out he's reading Luke chapter 1, which is a great passage about the birth of our Savior, Jesus the Savior of the world. God set that up. We had a great conversation, and that's what's going on here. The Lord is working. Philip asks a question now. Now look at the Ethiopian's response. Do you guys see it? And he says, how can I make sense of this unless somebody guides me? It's like, I need help. I mean, you're a runner. You kind of look like you know what you're doing. Do you want to come help me make sense of God's word? Okay. And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Let me say this. God is working right here before our eyes in the Ethiopian's man, his life. And I trust that you guys see that. Here's a lesson for all of us. Never underestimate the power of God's word. Okay? Never diminish it. Never underestimate the power of God's word to bring people to salvation. Never. Never underestimate it. It boggles my mind how many churches on Sunday morning, a pastor will get up, and I don't even know if he gets to the Bible. Does he even get to it? And it doesn't seem like he talks much from it, and not a lot of insight from God's word. But what we're seeing here is, my goodness, we should never underestimate the power of God's word. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, maybe you know it, it says this, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. It's so powerful to bring about salvation. Paul tells Timothy something similar in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, hey, Timothy, from childhood, you knew the sacred writings. You knew what Scripture said. Your mother or grandmother, it seems, taught you what the sacred writings meant, and they were able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation. That's God's Word. So powerful. God's Word is powerful to save the sinner. Never underestimate that. In fact, look at what happens next. Verse 32, God's working, God's working. Verse 32. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. This is Isaiah chapter 53. Okay? He was led as a sheep to slaughter. Who's the he? And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Here's what's interesting about all of this. This prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53 is the most detailed and complete prophecy about the suffering and the death and the redemption and the atonement of Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. Now, how providential is it? Like, God's sovereignty, it just kind of boggles our mind, doesn't it? Like, how providential is it of God to have this man reading this passage at this moment, and there's a guy. He overhears, and he knows the answer to these questions, right? It's like only God can do that. Not only is God sovereign in salvation, orchestrating everything, but God utilizes Scripture to penetrate the heart of the seeker. Make note of this. If you hope to be effective, and if I hope to be effective like Philip, when you minister to others, don't just give your 2 cents, okay? There's no power in your 2 cents. Clever speech will never be enough. Good arguments don't cut it. You with me? It's not about human wisdom. It's not my perspective. It's God's Word that makes the difference. And here's the thing, here's the point. We got to get people to God's Word, amen? That's the goal in all of this. That's the example to follow. If we want to be effective as a witness for Christ, we got to get people into God's Word. An illustration. I read recently of a Muslim priest. It's a true story. If memory serves me right, he was from India. He was asked to do a series of character studies on the great people of the Quran, Abraham, Joseph, David, and the prophet Jesus. And according to this man's testimony, when he came to prepare his talk on Jesus, he wanted just a little bit more background information, and so he borrowed somebody's Bible. Certain parts of the world, just having a Bible is a very, very risky thing, but he got a hold of one. He began to read the Gospels. Do you know what happened? He began to realize that Jesus was more than a prophet. Of course, that is a very dangerous thing in his part of the world. His Muslim friends were appalled. They excommunicated him, fired him from his job as a priest. They could have beat him. They could have imprisoned him. They could have killed him. This man, that wasn't his experience. Fortunate for him. He continued to read the Gospels, and you know what? In time, he trusted in Jesus Christ for his soul salvation. Just remarkable. He found a local Christian eventually. There's not a lot of them around in certain parts of the world, and that Christian baptized him. He now works for a mission organization teaching evangelism among his own people. Only God can do that. What's the lesson? We got to get God's Word to people. All right, that's the lesson. Notice what happens next, verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, well, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or somebody else? It's the perfect setup, isn't it? Like, who exactly is this person who was the lamb led to slaughter? Does anybody know the answer to the Ethiopian's question? Who's he referring to? Jesus. That's right, Jesus. And so here we see God utilizes Scripture to penetrate the heart. Notice
verse 35. So God uses Christians now to explain the gospel. We have a very important role in all of this. God uses Christians to explain the gospel. Verse 35. Then Philip opened up his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. According to verse 35, where did Philip start from again? From where? From scripture. He opens his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, bam, that's it. There's power in that. Little side tip on evangelism. Listen first. Okay? Listen first, then open your mouth, and always go with scripture. Okay? Little tip. Every person here who loves Jesus and knows Jesus should be able to do that. Right? You should be able to do that, right? Right? Listen first, then open your mouth, and always go with scripture. So that means if you're on a trip, if you're at the mall, if you're getting your nails done, if you're at the coffee shop, you're trying to fix your wife's minivan door, and you meet somebody, each of us should be able to explain the good news about Jesus Christ. Every follower should be able to do that because, remember this, God uses Christians to explain the gospel. All right, that's point number three. And for those of you who can't, you're like, I don't know that I can. I don't know that I could. We want to help you. We want to equip you to share your faith. In fact, a couple of our elders right now, Randy Olson and Lewis Cruz, as a matter of fact, are working on a curriculum, of an evangelism curriculum. So stay tuned for that. We'll share more about that in the future. In the meantime, if you're wondering, okay, so what do I do now? Three essentials for sharing your faith. Go ahead and write these down. What should I keep in mind when I share my faith? Three things. First, start with the fact that Jesus is God's Son. You do that, you're doing good, all right? Start with the fact that Jesus is God's Son. John 3:16 says it this way. You guys know it. God loves the world so much that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him will not perish. Here's what that means. You don't have to go to hell when you die. You don't have to spend an eternity separated from God. That's what it means. God will send you there if you reject his Son. If you trample underfoot what God offers freely, you will find yourself there. But that doesn't have to be your fate. You can have God's grace instead. Remember, Jesus died for sinners like you and me, so we wouldn't have to perish in hell. Second, sin gets you death. A lot of verses talk about this. A popular one that you might know is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, the wages of sin is death, right? And so let me explain it this way. Many of us have a job. Having a job is something to be thankful for, especially when you get a paycheck, right? Can't be payday, right? No, you guys don't care about payday, I guess. Payday feels pretty good, right? Everybody loves the payday. The wages, the payment for sin, your wage for sin is what again? It's death. The payment for work is your wage. Your payment for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received that free gift? That's what Jesus is offering you today. But like any gift, to receive it, you have to admit that, man, I fall short in many ways. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by nature. It's just who I am. It's what I do. I'm a sinner by nature. I'm a sinner by choice. I fall short. I'm not perfect. I'm not. It's admitting that. It's coming to terms with that. It's believing that Jesus died for your sins and conquered death for your salvation. I believe it. I believe what the Bible says about that. I don't understand it all quite yet, but I believe it. I believe it. It's repenting from your sin. I used to kind of do this and that, but I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to choose Christ. This is how I'm going to live. And it's confessing him as Lord. If you haven't already, you need to accept that free gift and respond to the good news today. If you have received this free gift, then share it with others who need to hear. Because remember, God uses Christians to explain the gospel. Here's the third essential for sharing your faith. Salvation is not by works. Have you heard that before? It means you can't earn it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." Here's what that means. As much as we love to have you here every Sunday, going to church doesn't save you, okay? Doesn't. Church attendance doesn't save you. Religion won't save you. It's not about behaving yourself. It's not about being a good boy. All right? That doesn't cut it. Salvation is not by works. It's by God's amazing grace that we are saved. Because here's the thing. If we could earn it, we'd end up bragging about it. And it would no longer be a gift from God, but rather payment for our effort. And that's not the way that it works. Salvation is not by works. It's by grace. Notice there the next verse, verse 36. Before that, though, why don't I draw your attention to this big, beautiful baptismal tank? Maybe you guys have been wondering, hey, Jason, what is that big thing on stage with you? It's a baptismal tank. You guys see it? Which means, for you, today is Baptism Sunday. And special thanks to Matt Olson. He has certified that the temperatures are warm and inviting. And so special thanks to Matt for that. In fact, it's so warm, I kind of feel like I'm on spring break right now. Wow, that's nice. Where's my sunglasses? Baptism Sunday, we love it. And one of the reasons we love it is because during baptisms, you get to hear people's story, their testimonies. So we're going to have baptisms at the end of the service. And listen, if you've never been baptized as a believer, today you can be. So here's an invitation. If you've never been baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ, today you can be. I invite you to think about it. I invite you to consider it. It'd be our privilege to baptize you at the end of the service. Maybe with that you say, well, that's kind of late. I mean, I came to church. I'm not ready. Well, I got good news for you. We're ready for you. In fact, I think we got a slide, don't we? You guys see that? My wife is very organized, so she assures us. Thank you, Gretel. I love looking at organized things. And so that's what's behind that door right there. We have shorts in every size. We have t-shirts in every size. We have towels in abundance, just for you, and a bathroom for your privacy. And so we would invite you to think about being baptized today. You have about 10 minutes or so to decide, all right? Last point. God works in the hearts of sinners to impart faith, all right? Verse 36, notice. As they went along the road, they came to some water. You mean water like this? I think it was. And so what did the eunuch say? He said, look, water. Check out what happens next. Notice there, verse 37. Y'all with me? Verse 37, you there? You're like, wait a second. My Bible doesn't have a verse 37. That's kind of weird. In the ESV and the NIV, they omit this verse. The NASB includes it in italics. I'll read it for you in the NASB. They put it this way. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Of course, referencing being baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, here's why it's in italics or maybe omitted from your Bible. Some scholars speculate that verse 37 was inserted at some point as a textual tradition by a well-meaning scribe who wanted to make it clear that the Ethiopian did in fact have saving faith in Jesus before he was baptized. Now, maybe as you hear that, you're like, uh-oh, wait a second, does that mean the Bible is full of errors? Is that what this means? Not at all. Doesn't mean that at all. In fact, only 1/10 of 1% of the entire New Testament is disputed, and of those disputed passages, none of them have any bearing on a person's salvation. So, whether or not verse 37 should be included. In the big scheme of things, the truth is it's not a big deal. Moving on, verse 38. And he ordered the chariot to stop. Remember, this is like a big entourage. And they went both down to the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. I think it goes without saying that this passage obviously supports baptism by immersion. That's what we do here. So that means your hair will get wet. That's what that means. Had pouring water on the forehead or sprinkling on the forehead been the norm, Philip could have simply taken the guy's canteen and be like, we're done. But it's very clear they went down into the water. Now, before we get to our final verses here, let me draw your attention back to our big, beautiful baptismal tank here. A question that we receive here often, and so many of you are new and you're kind of just wondering, how do we do things? Something that we're asked often is, hey, pastor, pastors, whoever, do you guys do altar calls here? Do you guys do altar calls? Some churches do altar calls all the time. Do you guys do altar calls here? And here's what we say to that. Yes, we do. Sometimes. Because here's the thing, evangelism isn't a formula, right? It's not a formula. And where you got to conclude every service with people saying the sinner's prayer. It's not a formula. That said, we do share the gospel every week. You've probably noticed that I already have, probably at least once, maybe a couple times. Every week, the hearer here is challenged to respond to the things that they hear. Every week, the gospel is preached. Some of you might be surprised to learn that walking the aisle and saying the sinner's prayer at the end of church actually isn't in the Bible. Do you guys know the biblical way to profess your faith publicly? Do you guys know? It's through baptism. And so if you want to profess your faith publicly, but you've never done so, baptism is how you do that. In the Bible, the public way to profess your faith is to be baptized. Baptism is how Christians publicly profess their faith. And notice, I've probably said it a couple times now, have you been baptized as a Christian? Not asking if you were baptized as a baby, I'm asking if you have been baptized as a believer, as a follower in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you haven't, today could be your day, and it should be. Have you been baptized as a believer in Jesus who understands the gospel? I'm so excited because we have about a half a dozen of our ladies that are going to be baptized today, which is exciting. Not one man, though. I don't know why. I don't know, man. What's going on? Bunch of women. That's great. We love it. Super excited, ladies. Maybe there could be even more. But no men. I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe men. Maybe men you should be. Think about it. It's between you and the Lord. In a couple minutes, you'll have to decide. And just to clarify a couple things about baptism. Baptism doesn't save you, right? Some churches teach that it saves you. It doesn't save you, but baptism is what saved people do. So right now we have 4 or 5 women that want to be baptized. We also have a student from the Grove Kids that wants to be baptized, female student, and I've had the blessing of hearing their testimonies, and they love Jesus, and they worship Jesus, and they are all in for Jesus. They want everybody to know about what Jesus is doing in their life. And so, if you want to be baptized today, and if you want to show others that you are all in for the Lord, then right now you can head through that exit door. And so why don't you guys go ahead and head through that door, go get changed if you want to be baptized today. Great, great, great. Go ahead, now's your time. Can we give them applause? That's a good thing, right? We're going to celebrate that. Pastor Robert will be there. We have a couple of our elders. Louis Cruz will be there. I think Pastor Scott might be back there too. And my wife is going to be there should you have any questions for her. While they do that, let's cover the last couple of verses. Okay, notice there, verse 39. And so this just is remarkable, isn't it? Do you guys know verse 39? When they came up out of the water, so now imagine you have Philip baptizing this Ethiopian man, right? You kind of buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. Do you know what happens next? Do you guys see it? The Spirit of the Lord, what does it say? Snatched him. My goodness. Snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. One word. Do you know the word? That's a miracle right there. That's what that is. This doesn't happen too often. I've baptized a lot of people, probably hundreds through the years. Not one time have I ever vanished. And so, but I'm not saying it can't happen. Pastor Robert's going to be doing the baptizing today. And so if he disappears, I don't know who you call. Maybe you call the police or the Ghostbusters. I don't know. Call somebody. Maybe you call upon the name of the Lord. It's amazing. Imagine what people were thinking that day. Just, woo, gone. But what does the Ethiopian do? It doesn't really bother him much. What does he do? He went on his way rejoicing. He's celebrating. Thank you, God. I get it now. I understand it. Jesus died for my sins. He conquered death for my salvation. What a wonderful day. Was able to publicly profess my faith in Jesus. And he goes away rejoicing. Verse 40. Be fun to ask Philip about this one day, but all of a sudden he's like in his Otis. And he found himself there. And as he passed through, he kept, I got work to do. Kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And so the good news goes forth. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there. Such a great account. Let me bring it home this way. It's so good to see Brenda and the girls here today. It's been a couple hard weeks, huh? It's been hard, you know, praying for Roy, and what a blessing it is to hear that he's doing better. When Roy was hospitalized 2 weeks ago, my cousin Ryan was also hospitalized, probably within hours of each other. It's been a hard couple weeks on me personally, just heavy-hearted for Roy, and also grieving for my cousin Ryan. My cousin Ryan wasn't as fortunate as Roy to see improvement, and we thank God for that. My cousin Ryan is 37 years old. He went in what he thought was a bad cold. Sure enough, it was COVID. Last weekend, they put him on a ventilator, and he died within days. He's younger than me. He's 37. He leaves behind a lovely wife, 3 kids. She's a stay-at-home mom. You can imagine how hard that is for her. All the difficulties awaiting her. The uncertainty. He was healthy. He was healthy. As far as we know, didn't have any underlying health conditions. Just kind of like me. Average height, average weight. Here's why I mentioned that. And I think it's an important reminder for all of us. I wish I could have reminded Ryan about this, but I didn't get a chance. You know, tomorrow is not promised, and the only thing in life that is certain is that there is no certainty in this life. We will all leave this life on earth, and we will stand before Almighty God. And so the question today is, are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared? Just honestly, are you prepared to do that? If you were to step out of this place today and something tragic were to happen to you this week, would you be ready to stand before Almighty God? Have you embraced the righteousness of Jesus Christ as a provision for the forgiveness of your sins? So let me just say this. If your answer is, I am not sure, or I think I did that once, or I don't know, or no, I know that I haven't, then I'm here to tell you, you're not ready to stand before Almighty God. You're not ready. But you can get ready. And so today, like this Ethiopian man, your conversion story could begin. And so maybe I just invite all of us to close our eyes. I feel compelled of the Holy Spirit just to allow a few moments here before we close in worship and then enjoy the baptisms, just to give you a moment, just to allow this to sink in. You know, if you're not sure if you've ever confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, but if you want to do that today, there's nothing stopping you. You don't have to come forward, of course, but I will ask you to confess Jesus right where you are sitting. Maybe softly where you are. In fact, I remember a prayer that I prayed. There's nothing special about it. It's just a prayer that I prayed probably 20-some years ago. Maybe you could repeat these words with me if you feel led of the Holy Spirit that God is working on your heart today. It's saying something like, you know, God, I know that I'm a sinner. Just admit that. I know that I fall short. Just admit that. God, it's true what the pastors here proclaim. Each of us, we've broken your law. We have nothing of which to commend ourselves. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. If that's you this morning and you mean that from your heart, go ahead and tell God that. Just admit it. Just tell him that. And then say, but I believe, Jesus, that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. Say that if you believe it. It's between you and the Lord. I believe that Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sin. I believe that he rose from the dead to prove that he is God. If you believe that, tell him. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I believe these things. I believe it. I believe it. And right now I receive Jesus Christ as best I know how. I'm sure you have questions and we're here to answer some of those. Jesus, would you come into our heart? Come into my heart, fill me with your Holy Spirit, forgive my sin, cleanse me, give me new life, wash me, forgive me. I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you prayed that today and meant it, I encourage you to reach out to one of our pastors and elders after the service. It'd be our pleasure to talk with you further about these things. And lastly, this may be for you, if you have believed, but you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior publicly, then we invite you to be baptized today. There's nothing to stop you. You do have time to get changed if you would like. Obey the Lord and be baptized. Go ahead and get changed. There's still time. With that said, why don't we stand to our feet? We're gonna respond in song, and then Pastor Robert's going to come out, and we're going to celebrate. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. It's truth. God, our prayer this morning is that we could be all in. I pray that we could be more like Philip and just be available and be quick to obey and be quick to respond to your Holy Spirit's prompting. God, that we'd be available to be an instrument in the Redeemer's hand. Maybe we don't have all the answers, but what we know, could we minister? And what we don't know, could we learn as students? And God, our prayer is that as a church, we could be fired up about evangelism and discipleship and extending the same grace to others that has been extended to us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would go before us this week and maybe even within your sovereignty and in your providence, orchestrate some conversations to take place that we got to have. Would you go before us, Lord? Would you go before us? Would we be bold? Would we be available like Philip? And would you get the glory through sinners repenting just like you did that day through this Ethiopian man? God, we love you. We give you thanks. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.